Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, August 23rd. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Average home still selling for around $400,000. Midland real estate agent, there is still strong demand to purchase a home. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The average price of a home sold in Midland County again flirted with the $400,000 mark in July, according to the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. The center reported an average price of $397,678, which was down from $422,448 in June, but the fifth straight month that an average of $384,806 or more has been reported inside Midland County. July was the 59th straight month that the average price for a home sold in Midland County topped $300,000, a streak that goes back to September 2018. The median price for a home sold in Midland County was $340,000 in July, the third time in 5 months that the median price hit $340,000 or more, according to the center. July also extended the streak to 26 months, that the price of a home sold in Midland County reached $300,000. We're watching the median sold home price go up slightly in Midland County, as well as the price per square foot, said Brian Sales of the Sales Team Realtors in Midland. On May 10th, the median sales price for homes sold in the previous 90 days was $325,000. On August 10th, that same statistic was $339,900. And at the same time, the median days on the market for those homes sold is going down. Sales told the Reporter-Telegram that the inventory of homes listed in Midland County is hovering in the mid-400s. The A&M Real Estate Center showed the housing inventory in Midland has remained in the 400s for 6 straight months. A&M reported the months of inventory in July stayed at 2.2. That is tight supply, Sales said. While higher interest rates certainly have slowed some buyers, there is still strong demand to purchase a home. It is simply supply and demand at work that we see in the marketplace. Sales said interest rates have had a significant effect with those homeowners who, quote, would like to sell and relocate, upgrade, or downsize. If they still have a mortgage on their current home with a lower interest rate, they are hesitant to give that up and purchase with a higher interest rate. So they wait. Sales added, the experts we follow suggest that as interest rates soften later this year and into 2024, we will see many more of these homes being listed and into the marketplace. That welcome influx of inventory will affect home prices and give buyers even more options. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center showed 257 homes sold inside Midland County in July, the fifth straight month more than 200 homes were sold. Also, the total volume reached $102 million in July. The third time in 5 months, total volume topped $100 million inside Midland County. The median price of a home sold in Midland County in July, $340,000, was $70,000 more than the next closest larger population county in West Texas, Randall. Other median prices reported included $259,000 in Ector County, $256,000 in Taylor, Abilene, $252,000 in Tom Green, San Angelo, and $241,000 in Lubbock. This article is called Fast Facts. It is entitled Second Annual Hope Fest at County Fair by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Hope Fest will take over the Horseshoe Amphitheater Saturday during the 14th Annual Midland County Fair, 2514 Arena Trail. Presented by Thriving United, a recovery community organization mobilizing resources within and outside the community to increase the prevalence and quality of long-term recovery from alcohol and other drug addictions. Hope Fest is the Permian Basin's only family-friendly Christian music festival, according to Executive Director Coleman Nelson. With 10 bands driving the 9-hour event, tickets can be bought at bit.ly/47DKIWB. General admission tickets cost $35, which includes access to the concert starting at 4 p.m., as well as access to the fairgrounds all day. VIP cost $75, which consists of all general admission benefits plus an air-conditioned lounge filled with food and drinks, and a meet-and-greet with headliner Unspoken. And VIP tables cost $750, which includes all VIP perks along with a front-row table. Schedule. 12:30 p.m., doors open. 1 p.m., inner court. 2 p.m., Greater Ideal Baptist Church. 3 p.m., Harvest Time Church. 4 p.m., True Light Christian Fellowship. 5 p.m., Maesta Rite. 6 p.m., Mount Rose Baptist Church. 7 p.m., The Transformer Band. 8 p.m., Unspoken, headliner. This article is entitled Affidavit. Cordarius's mom kept cashing in on financial support. By Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. After 7 months of searching for information that could help the Midland Police Department identify and locate Cordarius's family, MPD received a call on August 9th from a woman stating she was a close family member of Cordarius, according to court documents. She identified him as Cordarius LaShawn Pegas, 24. She also stated Cordarius lived with his mother, Charlotte Latasha Pegas, 47. Pegas was arrested Monday for exploitation of a disabled individual. According to an arrest affidavit, Pegas had been continuing to receive financial support for Cordarius despite him not being under her care. A receipt showed that on August 8th, she had received $500 from the financial support. Pegas told the officer the money was issued by the government for Cordarius's disability. On August 10th, officers received consent to search Pegas's residence and found, quote, hazardous and unhygienic living conditions, unquote. She was also unable to produce any articles that showed support or caretaking for Cordarius. Pegas is currently being held in Midland County Jail. Bond for the third-degree felony is set at $10,000. This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, August 23rd. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Average home still selling for around $400,000. Midland real estate agent, there is still strong demand to purchase a home. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The average price of a home sold in Midland County again flirted with the $400,000 mark in July, according to the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. The center reported an average price of $397,678, which was down from $422,448 in June, but the fifth straight month that an average of $384,806 or more has been reported inside Midland County. July was the 59th straight month that the average price for a home sold in Midland County topped $300,000, a streak that goes back to September 2018. The median price for a home sold in Midland County was $340,000 in July, the third time in 5 months that the median price hit $340,000 or more, according to the center. July also extended the streak to 26 months that the price of a home sold in Midland County reached $300,000. We're watching the median sold home price go up slightly in Midland County, as well as the price per square foot, said Brian Sales of the Sales Team Realtors in Midland. On May 10th, the median sales price for homes sold in the previous 90 days was $325,000. On August 10th, that same statistic was $339,900. And at the same time, the median days on the market for those homes sold is going down. Sales told the Reporter-Telegram that the inventory of homes listed in Midland County is hovering in the mid-400s. The A&M Real Estate Center showed the housing inventory in Midland has remained in the 400s for 6 straight months. A&M reported the months of inventory in July stayed at 2.2. That is tight supply, Sales said. While higher interest rates certainly have slowed some buyers, there is still strong demand to purchase a home. It is simply supply and demand at work that we see in the marketplace. Sales said interest rates have had a significant effect with those homeowners who, quote, would like to sell and relocate, upgrade, or downsize. If they still have a mortgage on their current home with a lower interest rate, they are hesitant to give that up and purchase with a higher interest rate. So they wait. Sales added, the experts we follow suggest that as interest rates soften later this year and into 2024, we will see many more of these homes being listed and into the marketplace. That welcome influx of inventory will affect home prices and give buyers even more options. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center showed 257 homes sold inside Midland County in July, the fifth straight month more than 200 homes were sold. Also, the total volume reached $102 million in July, the third time in 5 months total volume topped $100 million inside Midland County. The median price of a home sold in Midland County in July, $340,000, was $70,000 more than the next closest larger population county in West Texas, Randall. Other median prices reported included $259,000 in Ector County, $256,000 in Taylor, Abilene, $252,000 in Tom Green, San Angelo, and $241,000 in Lubbock. This article is entitled, City Council Members Can't Decide on Tax Rate, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The Midland City Council will debate another day on its tax rate for the upcoming fiscal year. The council set a rate Tuesday during its regular meeting at City Hall, but a decision on what the rate actually will be will take place at an August 29th meeting. For now, city leaders have approved, on first reading, a tax rate of 35.3162 cents per $100 valuation. This rate will be a decrease from the approved rate this year, 35.5039 cents. But an expected increase in valuations across the city likely means the average Midlander is facing a tax increase for fiscal year 2024, perhaps as much as $189, based on the average home value in Midland. During the meeting, the city reported taxes on the average home value in Midland, $380,000, will be around $1,432, up from $1,153. But the decision left will be whether city leaders want the tax rate at 35.3162 cents per $100 valuation, or whether they will choose a no new revenue rate of 32.8693 cents per $100 valuation. That no new revenue rate would mean the tax bill for the average home in Midland would be around $1,249. It also is possible that a compromise rate could be set. At Tuesday's meeting, council members decided to get more information from staff and wait until the next meeting to make a decision, as they could set a rate and lower it at a later meeting, but they can't increase a rate once they have approved a lower rate. There wasn't the support on Tuesday to approve the proposed rate, as the council needs a supermajority, 5 of 7 members, to approve a tax rate. If there is no approval, or there isn't 5 members supporting a rate, the city will use the no new revenue rate. Council members learned Tuesday that the city of Midland has lost a total of $19.1 million in potential property tax revenue going back to fiscal year 2014, based on the maximum rate allowed and valuations for the year. Staff also said the proposed rate will bring in $72.751 million to the general fund, and lowering it to the no new revenue rate would mean $5 million less in the general fund. City staff reported the following cuts would be possible based on a decision to lower the tax rate. The loss of $1 million would mean the denial of additional personnel and related equipment to address growth. Communications department, parks, MLK center, engineering, building, maintenance specialist, fire training specialist, ITSD. The loss of $2 million would mean the denial of even more personnel and related equipment to address growth. Health services, animal services, sports complex, summer help pay raises, development services, 3 firefighters, 2 new police administration staff. The loss of $3 million would mean the reduction of maintenance line items for areas that showed leftover funds last year, plus cuts above, including various general fund departments, excluding police or fire. The loss of $4 million will mean the canceling of all general fund vehicle replacements. By not replacing these, equipment costs that hit the general fund can be reduced by $1 million, plus cuts above. Those departments include municipal court, information systems, code, engineering, traffic, transportation, parks and recreation, animal services, MLK Center, and health and senior services. The loss of $5 million will mean the reduction of annual facility repairs to only the most necessary repairs, plus the cuts above. Those repairs include information systems, facilities, MLK Center, health and senior services, PD field operations, and fire department. The Midland City Council did approve the budget for the next fiscal year, although city leaders could make changes based on the tax rate ultimately approved. Parks Department projects approved include $2.5 million for a new senior center design, $2.5 million for improvements to the SE Senior Center, $6.5 million for the construction of 2 auxiliary fields at the Scarborough Sports Complex, and $1 million for a new golf cart barn. The city reported that more than $70 million will be available in the city's savings account, and $11.3 million would be available for staff requests. The Park Oil and Gas Fund will have $50.3 million at the end of the fiscal year, minus the $12.5 million committed the four Parks Department projects mentioned earlier. This article is entitled DPS, Motorcyclist Dies After Hitting Curb, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. A Midland man died after he lost control of his motorcycle Monday morning, according to the Department of Public Safety. Carrie Dawn Griggs, 58, was operating a 2021 Harley-Davidson on Farm to Market Road 1208 when he lost control of the motorcycle and hit a curb, according to DPS. Griggs was not wearing a helmet, according to DPS. Neither was his passenger, a 25-year-old Midland woman who was taken to Odessa Medical Center in stable condition. This article is entitled Henderson Principal Named Region 18 TEPSA President, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD is proud to announce that Henderson Principal Maxine Gonzalez has been appointed as the Region 18 President for the Texas Elementary Principals and Supervisors Association, TEPSA, for 2023-24. This is a critical position in shaping statewide school leadership strategies, Midland ISD reported. In this role, Ms. Gonzalez will represent not only MISD, but all of Region 18, and communicate the challenges and needs of districts in West Texas. In the leadership role within TEPSA, Ms. Gonzalez will be able to use her experience as a data-driven decision-maker to promote accountability throughout the state. Her hands-on approach and ability to drive transformation will bring fresh perspectives to TEPSA's initiatives. Gonzalez started her teaching career in her hometown of La Mesa before joining Midland ISD in 2016. While serving as a teacher and instructional coach, she developed multiple professional training programs for teachers that empower them to create environments that promote learning. While at MISD, Gonzalez has participated in the Aspiring Principals Academy and the Superintendent Internship Program. My years in education have shown me the incredible potential of our students and educators, Gonzalez said in a news release. I am honored to serve in this role and serve the families and students of MISD. More than 6,000 PK to 8 educators from across Texas are members of TEPSA. This article is entitled Lance Corporal Cade Byerly of Midland Trains in Brazil. U.S. Marine Corps Lance Corporal Cade Byerly with Echo Company 2nd Battalion 5th Marine Regiment collects spent brass after a Battle Site Zero range on August 7th at the base Expedicionario de Fusileiros Navais in Formosa, Brazil, during the Corpo de Fusileiros Navais Brazilian Marine Corps' annual infantry training exercise, Formosa. Byerly is from Midland. Exercise Formosa offers an ideal platform for the armed forces of multiple nations to enhance their interoperability, conduct joint military operations, and exchange invaluable insights on tactics and strategies. With the backdrop of an ever-changing global security landscape, the participation of the United States Marine Corps and militaries from multiple nations shows commitment to regional security and partnership. This article is entitled Threat Made to Permian High School for Second Day in a Row, by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. For a second day in a row, Ector County ISD reported a threat was made to Permian High School. The district reported Tuesday that a bomb threat was made to PHS. District officials stated the Odessa Police Department received an anonymous 911 phone call making a bomb threat at PHS. ECISD officers, along with multiple law enforcement agencies, responded. While searching the school, officers, quote, found two backpacks, However, those were quickly confirmed to have been left by students and were cleared of suspicion, unquote. OPD's Explosive Ordnance Division and ECISD's Explosive Canine Officer conducted a preliminary sweep of the campus. Officers secured the exterior of the campus before students and staff were evacuated to the school field. No explosives or suspicious items were found, according to ECISD officials. School officials began dismissal procedures at 4 p.m. from the field, and after-school activities were allowed to resume in areas of the campus already cleared by authorities during a second campus search. The threat came a day after the district reported PHS was placed under lockdown due to an active shooter hoax. Permian High School and district officials are angry and frustrated to have school interrupted this way. ECISD will continue to work with other local, state, and federal agencies to identify the person or people responsible for making these threats and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law, ECISD said in a statement. The district also thanked the local law enforcement agencies who responded and helped investigate the threat. Thank you to Permian's staff, students, and parents who, for the second day in a row, responded extremely well to a scary, stressful situation. This article is entitled No 100-Degree Temps in Forecast by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. For the first time in weeks, the National Weather Service does not have a high of 100 degrees in its forecast for Midland. The NWS is calling for high temperatures from 98 to 99 degrees on Friday through Sunday, but not 100 degree days. The high temperature on Tuesday reached 93, and the high on Wednesday is expected to reach 94 degrees. Tuesday's report. Tuesday's high, 93 degrees. Typical high for August 22nd, 94 degrees. Tuesday's low, 77 degrees. Typical low for August 22nd, 71 degrees. Previous record high for August 22nd, 103 degrees, set in 1985. Last 3 days. Sunday, 99 degrees. Monday, 100 degrees. Tuesday, 93 degrees. Next 3 days, Wednesday, 94 degrees. Thursday, 97 degrees. Friday, 98 degrees. Chance of rain, Wednesday, 20%. The source of this article, the National Weather Service. This article is entitled Precinct 3's Luis Sanchez to run for re-election. Sanchez, a Democrat, will run for a fifth term on the Commissioner's Court. By Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Precinct 3 Commissioner Luis Sanchez announced his run for re-election on Tuesday morning at Martinez Bakery in South Midland. The lone Democrat on Midland County's Commissioner's Court will be running for his fifth term as the precinct's representative. Sanchez won the Precinct 3 race for the first time in 2008 when he beat incumbent Julius Brooks in the Democratic Party primary that year. Sanchez, during his time as Precinct 3 commissioner, has successfully helped pass more than $30 million in road projects, a $100,000 property tax exemption for veterans and Midlanders over 65, and a Colonia grant to build septic tanks for low-to-moderate-income families. Sanchez voted for a 15% pay increase for the Midland County Sheriff's Office for fiscal year 2023. Sanchez has also consistently voted for the lowest property tax in the state in Midland County, he said. Our work remains unfinished, Sanchez said. I bring to the table the essential attributes of experience, diligence, accessibility to constituents, and dedication to this county. This article is entitled West Texas Symphony, Opening 2023-24 Season, by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Back for year 61, the West Texas Symphony will open at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center on September 9th. Picking up where it left off last spring, the musically inclined crew will kick the year off with a collection of pieces from and inspired by Rachmaninoff, a Russian composer, pianist, and conductor, titled Happy 150th Rachmaninoff. Joining the symphony will be Grammy and Emmy-winning violinist Richard O'Neill and guest composer Christopher Theophanidis. Together, the two critically acclaimed industry professionals will display a one-of-a-kind performance of Theophanidis' Concerto for Viola and Chamber Orchestra, the second act of the evening. Bedrick Smetana's lively 1860s Dance of the Comedians will begin the evening, while Rachmaninoff's final composition before death, Symphonic Dances, will close the show in romantic style. Along with the opening of the season, patrons can experience symphony soundbites, a pre-concert dinner held before the performance. There, Maestro Gary Lewis will provide insight on the program while guests enjoy a delicious bite to eat and refreshing drinks. Tickets cost $30 and can be bought by calling the Wagner box office at 432-552-4437. The deadline is September 1st. Tickets to the performance range from $12 to $60 and can be bought at WTXS.org or by calling 800-514-3849. Student tickets for $12 available with a paying adult or valid college ID. Subscription packages for the season will be available through September 9th. This article is entitled Zoning Approved for Behavioral Center by Mella McEwen, business editor. Initial zoning for what will be the site of the Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center was approved at Monday's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Commissioners approved a request by Dunaway for initial zoning of RR, Regional Retail District, on a 54.008-acre tract of land at State Highway 191 and Farm to Market Road 1788 to pave the way for the center. The tract is in the process of being annexed into Midland city limits and is also in the process of being platted. Commissioners also approved a request by Stephen Nelson for a zone change from PD, Planned Development District for a Housing Development in part, and MFJ 16, Multiple J Family Dwelling District in part, to PD, Planned Development District for a Housing Development. The request was made in order to amend the site plan to allow for a new greenhouse at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 West, which was not part of the original PD site plan. Manor Park also wants to expand the boundary to include adjacent property to the northeast that is currently zoned MF 16, Multiple Family Dwelling District. Manor Park currently has an open plaza with landscaping and a cabana and wants to convert it into an open plaza with landscaping and a greenhouse. Commissioners also approved a request by Parkhill for a proposed preliminary plat of Lot 1, Block 11, at the intersection of Crowley Boulevard and West Wadley Avenue, to remove the previous access prohibition in the previous plat and allow for driveway access to Abel Junior High from West Wadley Avenue.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for August 23, 2023. New Burleson Principal Returns to ECISD by Ruth Campbell, August 22, 2023. Burleson Elementary's new principal, Dora Flores, is likely a familiar face to people in Ector County ISD. Flores, who grew up in Hobbs, New Mexico, has been in education for 19 years. She started her administrative career at ECISD and then went to Midland for 10 years. She was the assistant principal at Rusk Elementary for 4 years and then the principal for the last 6 years. She returned to Odessa because she thought it was time to come back home to serve the community that originally offered her a chance to be in an administrative role. Serving the students here at Burleson Elementary was the ideal place for me to come back, Flores said. Burleson's current enrollment is 387 students in grades kindergarten through fifth grade, but she expects that will continue to increase as a lot of families haven't finished enrolling yet. Last year, the enrollment was at 415 students. There are two specialized units, and they have two classrooms for deaf and hard of hearing students through the Regional Day School Program, which serves students in Odessa and surrounding communities. She earned her bachelor's degree in early childhood education and her master's in educational leadership, both from Texas Tech University. Flores worked in Lubbock as a teacher, instructional coach, and completed her principal internship at one of the secondary campuses at Lubbock ISD. Flores always wanted to go into education. Ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a teacher. That's where my heart and my passion is, in teaching, she said. Flores said elementary school is where her heart is. I feel that this is where we build the foundation and spark the imagination and the learning, she added. Interviewed before the first day of school, Flores said she was feeling great about the start of the year. Their motto is, soar like never before. I'm feeling great. My team and I are working nonstop. I have a fabulous assistant principal. We're working to get all the routines and procedures in place, so I'm feeling great about it. It's going to be a great year, she said. Flores said they have already determined their vision and mission for the year. It is to empower our scholars so they can be the best versions of themselves. The way we are going to do this is by tracking our data from kinder through fifth grade, also by providing coaching and feedback to our teachers. We're holding learning academies after school. We also created a schedule to give us an extended professional learning communities time. This is additional planning time that we're going to use to study the TEKS, or Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, the learning standards to plan for mastery of the TEKs. Also, to build our teacher capacity and, of course, follow up and monitor our data, because that's one of the things that we're going to be doing is closely monitoring and publicizing our data, Flores said. The data will drill down to each student and be stored and input digitally so they, as a campus, can access it no matter where they are. Data by grade level will be posted in the hallways so parents can see it. We want to be as transparent as possible so that they can see our current standing and celebrate with us the growth that we make as we progress through the year, Flores said. She also will be sending out weekly communications to parents so they can stay abreast of what's going on. Flores added that she is most proud of the learning academies that they're holding after school that will be pre-planning and pre-teaching for what we will discuss and dissect during our professional learning committees, PLCs, Flores said. This is something that was done in Midland when she was there. We stored our data digitally, and it was always very convenient to be able to pull our data when we were engaged in our professional learning, Flores said. She added that she was looking forward to the school year. Stacy Howell is her assistant principal, and Flores said they bonded instantly. We have a lot of great staff members, but most importantly, my assistant principal and I, we have been working closely, even before we reported for our contract day. I'm really excited about the things that we're bringing together and planning. We're constantly planning, constantly communicating to make sure that we have all of the tools and the data pieces in place so that our teachers can start off a successful year, Flores said. Chief of Schools Keeley Boyer noted that Flores has served as an assistant principal in ECISD several years ago. We are happy that she has chosen to return and lead Burleson, Boyer said. Airport heading to new record by Ruth Campbell. If current trends hold, the Midland International Air and Spaceport could break its 1986 record for enplanements, people getting on a plane to fly out. Director of Airports for the City of Midland, Justine Ruff, said their busiest day year ever was 1986 when they had 650,000 enplanements. Back then, the airport had all the main airlines and full-size planes. In 2019, we came close to that with 630,000, and we're on trend this year to beat it, Ruff said. This year, the airport could get to 660,000 implantments. Ruff started in airport operations in 1991 and has been director of operations since 2015. The airports include Midland Air and Spaceport and Midland Air Park. The Chamber of Commerce talks about heads and beds. I'm more interested in people leaving town. They can come back, but the ones that are leaving town work toward our grant funds, Ruff said. Airport funding mainly comes from parking fees. That's our biggest revenue source, Ruff said. She added that this is true for most airports. We do have some oil and gas revenue, a small amount. We have tenants, of course, that we get revenue from, but our biggest by far, our cash cow is parking, Ruff said. The airport gets 7 cents a gallon from the fuel flowage fee for fuel pumped into airplanes, the airlines, and private planes in the airport and air park and right-of-ways. They also get 10% of gross from car rentals and food and beverage sales. These contracts are bid out. There are also landing fees if you weigh over a certain weight. It's built into the airline contracts. They have 12 Midland police officers, 2 sergeants, and a lieutenant that are based at the airport. They provide 24/7 coverage. They have the City of Midland Fire as well as 3 different shifts of 4 people. We have 12, then we have an aircraft rescue firefighting chief who works up here, and he's a liaison between us and the fire department, Ruff said. While it is used to host all full-size jets, the airport now has a mixture of commuter and large planes. Southwest only flies 737s, but American and United mix. They'll upgrade if they're going to fill a flight, Ruff said. Delta was at the airport in the early 2000s, and Continental turned into United. We have a direct flight to Austin now that we didn't have before. We have both airports in Dallas, both airports in Houston, Phoenix, and Denver, Ruff said. United and Southwest have direct flights to Denver, she added. Parking is especially busy through Thursday through Sunday, but there are a lot of people who work in the area for the week and leave here Thursday or Friday, so that fills up the parking lots and makes for long lines at the checkpoint. In 2018, we increased the parking by 50%, and we still, on weekends, are probably 90% capacity. We are looking at a parking garage project, but that's very expensive, so we're weighing the pros and cons, Ruff said. There are digital signs outside the airport that tell you lots are full. Ruff said those have been helpful. Ruff said they are going to have a fixed-based operator, or FBO, which she said is like a gas station for airplanes. For the last several years, we have one FBO, and that's Signature. We're going to have a millionaire FBO. It's going to the old commemorative Air Force area. They're hoping to be in business by starting of 2025. They're in their due diligence now. They've got some buildings to tear down and some buildings to build, Ruff said. The airport has AST Space Mobile, which she said does some really cool things with satellites. We also have Kepler Aerospace, and they're working on different projects, Ruff said. The airport has been in its building since 1994, but people refer to it as the new building. We have more than 1 million people traipse through it every year, so there's a lot of upkeep, Ruff said. For more than a year, the airport has been doing painting, flooring, and rehabbing all the restrooms. They're on the last set of restrooms at the south end of the concourse by gates 3 and 4. They should be open in September. The airport's budget is $8 million to $9 million. It has 35 City of Midland employees. They are missing 3 in airport operations. Bomb threat at PHS by Odessa American, August 22, 2023. The Odessa Police Department received a bomb threat for Permian High School about 2:11 p.m. Tuesday. Multiple law enforcement agencies responded, and ECISD officers began searching the school. Officers found 2 backpacks. However, those were quickly confirmed to have been left by students and were cleared of suspicion, a news release detailed. ECISD Explosive K-9 Officer and OPD's Explosive Ordnance Division also began a preliminary sweep of the campus. Officers also secured the exterior of the campus, and then students and staff were evacuated. At 4 p.m., the school initiated regular dismissal procedures. Some after-school activities resumed in areas of the campus already cleared by authorities during a second campus search. No explosives or suspicious items were found, the release said. Permian High School and district officials are angry and frustrated to have school interrupted this way, the statement said. ECISD will continue to work with other local, state, and federal agencies to identify the person or people responsible for making these threats and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. Again, we want to thank all of the law enforcement agencies who responded and helped investigate the threat and keep our people safe. Thank you to Permian staff, students, and parents who, for the second day in a row, responded extremely well to a scary, stressful situation, the release said. This is the second time in 2 days that Permian has been the center of law enforcement activity. On Monday, all manner of law enforcement came out in force after University of Texas Permian Basin Dispatch received a 911 call stating there was an active shooter at Permian High School. UTPB notified all law enforcement agencies in this area and all responded to PHS. Upon receiving the call, ECISD police placed the school in lockdown, an emergency response in which all people inside the school take shelter within a locked room and all campus activities stop. All safety procedures were followed and officers were able to clear the school of any threat, deem it safe, and release the lockdown. Law enforcement confirmed that there was no shooter at Permian and there was no shots fired at the school, which was a claim made by the 911 caller, a news release detailed. Midland motorcyclist killed in Monday wreck by Odessa American, August 22, 2023. A 50-year-old Midland motorcyclist was killed Monday morning 9 miles west of Stanton. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Carrie Don Griggs was traveling north on FM 1208 on his Harley-Davidson when he lost control and hit a curb around 5:30 a.m. Griggs, who was not wearing a helmet, was pronounced dead at the scene. Griggs' passenger, a 25-year-old woman from Midland, was taken to an Odessa hospital in stable condition.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.